But really, if you look at the core curriculum for a lot of these professions, a lot of it's just basic health sciences. So they learn when it's, you know, when a condition's serious and when it needs referral. You know, it actually makes them more amenable to working with the conventional health system as well. You ostracize them by taking them out of the university sector, and you run the risk of the fringe element of these professions really coming to the fore. And that's what they're really targeting. They're targeting the fringe profession, but they're kind of using it as a brush to tar the whole profession, and it's really not a very subjective or objective or scientific way to look at any broad profession, and you can make any profession look this bad, you know, medicine included.
That was John Wardle talking to Sam Buckingham-Jones in last week's report into teaching alternative medicines in universities. John Wardle supports the position of 19 Australian universities to award degrees in alternative medicine, which is strongly opposed by the group Friends of Science and Medicine, who are set up in direct opposition. Professor Marcelo Costa, a lecturer in the School of Medicine at Flinders University and co-founder of the group, says there is negligence on the part of universities to award degrees for alternative practices in medicine.
The threat is not to conventional medicine. The threat is to society in general.
So you believe there's a public health risk involved in providing medical authority to alternative medicine practitioners?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, the danger is that some of these practitioners, but in particular chiropractic, have indeed expressed a strategy by which they aim explicitly and deliberately to replace general practitioners formed in universities, in medical schools, to be the first point of reference for families when there's something wrong with them. And I think the danger, of course, is that they are really, we are replacing a pseudoscience with proper scientific medicine. And GPs, by and large, are, if they have problems, it's a problem of time and money, not the lack of ability of dealing with all the problems that individuals have in medicine.
One in three universities now offering alternative therapy courses, and about half of all patients, according to John Wardle, choose some form of alternative therapy. Does this suggest that people believe they receive equal, sometimes maybe better care on that side of the industry?
Well, there's a bit of misconception in that, by the way. I can be regarded as taking a complementary medicine when I take a cup of tea. If you count all the people that do something which is not really given by a doctor, then you can certainly see that half of the people in Australia would do that. But if you're actually asking the question, well, how many people, instead of going to a doctor when they have a broken bone or they have a pain in their tooth or they have an inflammation of the appendix, how many of them will go to a truly complementary alternative practitioner? Very, very few. Those who do are in trouble, and those who do are either gullible themselves or they are victims. There's really no alternative to proper medicine when things become serious.
There has been a popular rise in this industry, though, and this debate is evidence of this. What do you attribute the growth in popularity and particularly the growth in academic circles of alternative medicines to?
Well, I think the academic circles are waking up now. I think I'm glad and lucky that I've been one of the five founders of this new group. We call ourselves Friends of Science in Medicine, and we are quickly moving to realize that indeed the danger is not only that there are disciplines taught which are completely pseudoscientific, but there are even movement to set new ones, such as the University of Central Queensland that is planning to start a new course in chiropractic this year, copied from the RMIT of Melbourne, transporting just about everything they have there. And I think this is really a serious issue, because universities that do so are going to take the risk of losing their credibility.
There's a high referral rate between doctors and alternative medicine practitioners. Do you believe that doctors should, under any circumstances, refer patients to alternative medical practitioners?
Well, I think that they shouldn't. The fact that they do also represent a problem in general, one that many of them may not realize the potential danger of doing so, and there are plenty of examples of that, but also because they don't realize that this is a very indirect way of relinquishing, in a way, their responsibilities. I understand why they do sometimes that, because they are pressed by time, and when the ailments are very minor, they say, well, okay, if I send you away, you don't come back. So it's an indication of a degree of insufficiency of funds and time and organization for, if you like, the scientific medicine to have the time to deal with issues. But they're all minor issues. No sensible GP will send somebody with a serious disease or serious ailment to an alternative practitioner. That would be almost criminal. I don't believe you can salvage completely flawed, unscientific practices and ideologies by teaching them in parallel other bits of science. And it will be a very expensive way to educate a student who start on the wrong end. It would be much better to ask them to go straight away to a proper course, but to allow them to enter in an alternative course and then have to correct all the rubbish they are learning under that, it seems to be a very, very rational way to go about in tertiary education.